Good evening. Welcome to the September 6th meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board. Let the record show that all members are present, with the exception of Mr. Gene Doughty, who did call and let Mr. Algert know that he wasn't going to be able to make the meeting tonight. Look for approval of the minutes, unless there are questions or discussion items about the minutes. Motion?
I'll move that the minutes be approved as presented.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Oral communications. Anyone in the audience who wishes to address the board on harbor matters other than those that are on the agenda, now is the time to do that. Seeing no one, we'll move on to presentation and action items. The first item is a presentation from the Ships to Reefs organization on a proposal to designate an artificial reef site in the area of Morro Bay Harbor. Mr. Algert?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, board members. I guess we'll make it quick. Eleanor Rewerts is here from the Ships to Reef organization, and I think she'll give a much better explanation of her background and her project than I will.
This is a 501c3 nonprofit public benefit corporation comprised of regional sync groups. The Northern California Oceans Foundation is the sync group for everything from Point Conception to the Oregon border. We have several sync groups in Southern California just because the population down there is so much larger. We taxpayers are going to pay almost $4.6 billion over the next 100 years to maintain the Navy MARAD fleet of obsolete vessels. And we're going to let an opportunity for substantial gain pass us by if we fail to address some significant environmental problems. Future generations will still have the obsolete fleet after we've spent this $4.6 billion. That's good. As you may be aware, there are 73 ships in the Suisun Bay Reserve Fleet up by San Francisco. This is one of three fleets throughout the nation. MARAD and Navy were mandated by Congress to clean these vessels and appropriated money on a continuous basis for them to do that. They have disposed of 169 of these vessels through artificial reefing, through SyncX operations, through scrapping at various scrapping locations throughout the country, and also donations as museums. In addition, every year ships are decommissioned and added to this fleet, so it's extremely difficult to get the numbers down. These 169 vessels, it's taken them almost 10 years to get that number out of the fleet. In 2001, the RAND Corporation was commissioned by the Department of Defense to evaluate how best to dispose of these vessels. And these are the dollars that were associated with each option at that time for the 450 vessels. These are the numbers that represent the cost to dispose of the balance of the 281 that are currently in inventory. Long term is not an option, but it is currently what we do. Domestic recycling isn't really an option because the costs of labor due to OSHA and other agency requirements make it ineffective, and the scrap metal cost just one ship. This is a Spruance class destroyer, and these are the costs associated with that. According to the RAND report, it only takes 12 years to collect the $612,800 that the government spends to clean these vessels in tax revenues, and local businesses will already be benefiting from the reef. As you're most likely aware, there has been a significant decrease in fish populations. And while reefing is not a complete solution, we believe it is a step in the right direction. It will also bring tourist divers to California, so let's explore that option a little more. We hope to establish at least 10 reef systems over the next 10 years. These will enhance habitat for marine life and create premier recreational dive sites to make California a national and international dive destination. And this isn't new. Look at the difference between the two states, California and Florida. Whoops, there you go. Of the 10 ships that have been sunk in California, 9 were sunk by the Department of Fish and Game. The other was done with mostly private money in San Diego and Mission Bay in an area known as Wreck Alley. Local economies will benefit from the money divers spend in their areas, and consequently tax revenues will increase. And these are just some of the businesses that will benefit directly: hotels, restaurants, local tourist sites, and of course the dive operations. The main thing that we have to overcome is funding. The U.S. Navy and Maritime Administration, as I said, are mandated by Congress to pay for environmentally cleaning those ships. All the other expenses are to make the ships diver safe, and contracting to sink the vessels fall on state and local governments and foundations such as CS2R and its sink groups. If you look at the San Diego experience, the HMCS Yukon, a Canadian naval frigate, is one of several reefs that have been placed in the area known as Wreck Alley. Dive shops from around the country schedule trips to this reef, and the San Francisco Bay Area shops typically charge approximately $630 per person for a trip to San Diego, and this doesn't include the airfare. This is just the diving portion of it. And these are just some statistics on the economic impact. As you can have to remember that the non-diving family members on these trips are going to go to SeaWorld, the zoo, shopping. They spend a lot of money outside of just the diving expenses. San Diego Oceans Foundation thought that $600 to $2 million would be spent annually in the local area, and as you can see, the Yukon way outdid the economic expectations. This $4.5 million came back to San Diego in the first year and has come in every year after that. San Diego already had a thriving diving industry, so the Yukon only supplemented the jobs, the wages, the salaries. San Luis Obispo County has virtually no dive industry, so jobs would be created here. This slide shows the economic impact of artificial reefing in just the four southeastern Florida counties. Keep in mind that Florida has many more artificial reefs than other parts of the state. There are approximately 709 artificial reefs in Florida, and 249 of those are vessels of some kind or another. NCOF has just completed a survey of Northern California divers to determine where they currently dive, how much money they're spending on an average dive trip, both locally and out of area, and to determine the locations where they would dive a shipwreck-based artificial reef if they were created in those areas. And this is what we found for San Luis Obispo Morro Bay. As you can see, over 92% don't dive here ever. When we added in the caveat of a shipwreck-based artificial reef for the area, it changed dramatically. Now 62.5% would come from 1 to 10 times per year. And their families that come with them would do the other attractions, the wineries, Hearst Castle, etc. This survey represents approximately 8,500 divers in Northern California. 5,000 of those is what the 62.5% would bring to the area. So how would this improve the environment? One of the obvious things is we wouldn't have to recycle, we wouldn't have to scrap the ships, we wouldn't have to do SyncX operations, we could get them out of the inventory. I don't know if you've had any of the recent AP articles about Northern California. Not only have lost their fishing economies, but many in way Northern California have also lost their lumber industry, leaving them with basically nothing. In the San Francisco Bay Area alone, 4 dive shops have gone out of business in just the last 6 months, and they're attributing that to the concerns over 9/11. What we need from you, we need the public support. We need people to talk about the project, to build support. We need to have people talking about how artificial reefs create nurseries and create increased marine life. We need the support of local communities and businesses near the prospective sink sites. It's going to take 11 to 13 permits to get a vessel down, so we're going to be dealing with a lot of governmental agencies. This last slide shows the USS Oriskany, which was sunk in May of 2006 as an artificial reef off Pensacola, Florida. Florida State University produced a study that forecast $92 million per year in increased revenue for Escambia County alone. That's where Pensacola is. And this is our contact information, and I've just given you, that's been distributed, all my maps of our site, proposed sites, and a copy of our survey results. Thank you.
I would ask you to stay up there, Eleanor. I'm sure the board's going to have some questions, and then I think you should take public comment, too. Thank you.
Would you like to start?
You mentioned, you mentioned all of the permits that would be necessary to sink one of these vessels, and I'm curious, do you know how long it took for the permit process before they could sink the vessel in San Diego?
The whole process from beginning to end took 3 years. I don't know exactly when they started working with each agency. I do know that the Coastal Commission signed off on it 2 days before the vessel went down.
Michelle, any questions or comments?
I would just like to comment that our fish stocks are not depleted here for now. I talked to some divers today about the area
north of the rock. And from my understanding, there's a pinnacle.
Tanny buoy.
There's a pinnacle there, and they were just west of the pinnacle when they dropped line and went out from there. Darby seemed to think it would be a good location, and our people, when they did their initial dive, the bottom is perfect. It's exactly what we're looking for.
I think the exact site is still undetermined. There's discussion has been one site down at Port San Luis area within the grant at Port San Luis, and one site up here in the Morro Bay area, fairly close to the harbor. The question, if directly in front of the harbor, is within the city limits and probably would have a city permitting process. If you go north at all, then you probably are in ungranted state lands, and the State Lands Commission is the direct permitting authority, so there's some important issues there, if how we determine the site. And the discussions in our office have been going on for the last week or so, and Michelle's been part of that. I appreciate that. About where would be the best place to recommend this. There's a lot of sand out there. I think the consensus is it might be a little better to the north, which would be outside the city limits. But that's something we're still looking at, and I think, you know, the idea now is conceptually, do we want to consider artificial reef, supporting an artificial reef somewhere in the area of Morro Bay Harbor? Thank you.
Michelle, anything else?
Yeah, I just think from a recreational fisherman's point of view, you know, as long as it was marked well, which I'm sure it would be, it wouldn't be, I don't think it would be a detriment.
Yeah, if one of the slides that showed that there is a $2,000 a year spent on annual moy bay buoy maintenance in San Diego for the Yukon alone, and that has three mooring buoys for vessels to attach to so they're not dropping anchors on the ship for the divers, and in addition to that, it has two navigational beacons on it as well. So it's, and that's required by the Coast Guard, so that's one of the permitting agencies that we have to go through.
I've got a question. How deep are you going to put it?
We want to put it preferably at recreational dive depth.
Now, my second concern is, and this has to do with recreational fishermen, too. Mm-hmm. If you're going to have divers diving in the boat, there's obviously not going to be too many people fishing around there, is there?
They do not have a... they have a no-take zone around the Yukon, but that's because the entire wreck alley has been set up that way. Mm-hmm. There are other areas in California where they do have wrecks that, because of the depth, they don't have the fishermen don't fish right on the boat, but they do fish around it.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
they, I've been
my
told
question
by,
is for this area. Mm-hmm. Are they going to allow them to fish around it, or are they going to keep them away?
We are not. If our opinion is, if the ground that the boat lands on is a no-take zone when it lands, it'll be a no-take zone. But if it's a take zone, then it's going to be a take zone. We're not asking for take zones on the vessels. That, I mean, no-take zones.
So it just
zones.
Depends on where you put it. In other words,
right.
Whether it's in a marine-protected area or,
right.
or not.
Right.
Okay. I just want to be specific on that, because
right.
there's going to be people asking those questions.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn.
It seems like
Mike.
What's the it all sounds great, but what's the downside? What are you against this for?
The only argument that we have heard, we haven't heard directly from anyone as we've made our presentations up and down the state, it comes from back east, and there are environmentalists that claim that they become fish attraction devices or fads, where fish come into the area and they sit there and they wait for the fishermen to come and get them. And there's there's absolutely no science to back that up. Every time they've been asked for their science to back up their statements, they can't produce it. And there is a lot of science showing just the opposite. Yes, they do initially attract fish from other areas. That's one of the things we look for, is nearby reefs to do just that, attract fish so that they'll come and breed on it. But once the breeding population is up and going, they leave and go do whatever it is in their other areas. They don't hang around and wait to be caught. And that's the only negative that we've heard about this at all.
Thank you.
Bill?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting concept. The two questions I have is, one, are they actually cleaning the boats right now in the San Francisco? No, I understand that, but even nonprofits, you have money and revenue streams and things like that.
Right. What's in it for us primarily is that the divers that created the corporation and our sink groups will have another place to dive, and we're giving back something by creating habitat. Divers go out and they see every day the damage that's been done through pollution, and I hate to say this with a fishing person in the house, but there are places where overfishing has taken place, and fish stocks are depleted in some areas due to a multitude of reasons. And the divers see this firsthand when they go down. They see the damage that global warming has done to some of the reefs, with them bleaching out and just basically dying. They see all this, and they want to do something to help, and this is our way of doing that. And so basically, it's for us, it's a you know, it's not like we're out to make, pardon me?
An altruistic?
Yeah, we're not out to make money. We're out to help the environment and help ourselves in the process through another dive site.
Well, okay, then let's say you did get a ship, you did get a site, you got permitted. Who pays to get the ship from San Francisco to here? I mean, who?
We do. We raise the funds to do that.
So does the Navy give you the money?
No.
You raise, so the Navy's going to give you the ship.
The Navy or MARAD is going to clean the vessel to the standards that they have to by law.
Right.
Then we're going to take it from there, do whatever additional cleaning might be needed. We would tow it to, The way the vessels are up there, they're going to be cleaned and they're going to be diverized, which means we're going to cut all the holes in them up there. The ones that are at the water level will remain sealed to a certain extent so that it can make the trip down here or wherever in California without the ship sinking on the way. It'll probably sit for a week or two in a harbor nearby, hopefully, so that we can do some PR, bring in the alumni groups for the vessel, and essentially do a big PR thing. And then it's taken out to the site. Explosives are placed on the vessel. The cutouts that have been done at the waterline are taken out, and the vessel is then sunk by a pre-engineered sinking, explosive sinking.
So all the revenue is generated by fundraising?
By fundraising, by grants. We have been invited by Oceans Protection Council to make, and that was it. Everything else was all private money.
Thank you. The mothball fleet that we're talking about up in Suisun Bay, that's under the Carquinez Bridge, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I used to drive across that bridge 40 years ago when I was first going away to college in Northern California. My grandfather's a retired Navy captain, and I asked him about that fleet, and he, you know, explained to me that they're set aside just in case there's ever a need and they need to be resurrected, and they were not looking very good 40 years ago.
No, there's... there's still one vessel there that is from Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. Well, I've read some articles through the years about the reefs, the sinking of the ships for reefs, and frankly, in this area, we don't, as you're well aware, have a big dive industry, but we do have a lot of people who are concerned about maintaining healthy fish populations, and I don't think there's ever been any conflicts between sport diving and the fishing community, but that's not a big portion of our interest here in the local area. But I really think that any evidence you can offer in this area that has to do with the increased fish populations that they've experienced in Florida and other places would be very advantageous. I don't think that... I think that's going to be more of an emotional buy-in here in the area than the sport diving. You know, there are divers here in the area, and again, I'm not saying anything negatively about the dive industry. It's just not a big activity here at this point in time. It may well be in the future. The other thing that I think needs, you're probably already aware, the city's economic situation right now is a little bit tenuous. Mm-hmm. And as far as local funding, I hope there isn't expectation, because right now you can get, I'm sure, local support, and I'm starting to get a sense that this board will offer you that. But if it's funded as the local port, we have concerns about what goes on out in the water, whether it's inside the city limits or not. And
yeah, I'm just talking about funding. Keep it outside the city limits, that's all.
Well, I guess we should open it up to the public and see if there are any comments or questions from members of the public. Anyone in the audience?
We're in the city limits.
Please come to the microphone. People at home will be watching reruns of this for the next several weeks, and all questions are important.
Make him say his name, too.
Yeah, my name's Kevin Winfield. I have the subsea tours. We do whale watching and that type of thing in the harbor.
Right.
So where are the city limits?
Rick, can you describe them offshore?
The city limits exactly coincide with our Tidelands grant, which are two important things. And they run out to 3 miles just directly in front of the harbor, roughly from where Morro Creek enters the ocean to approximately about a quarter mile south of the South Jetty. So it's about three quarters of a mile wide, going out 3 miles. So one of the problems I have, and I think this is an important issue for the city, there may be, the city would have more control and input on the project and potentially could even be in a position to actually lease the project back, say, to ships, to reefs for their operation. And that could be a good thing if it was in city limits. Or if it goes out to outside the city limits, then it's ungranted state lands, and the, as I said before, the State Lands Commission would almost surely manage the site and come up with lease arrangements of ships to reef. So that's an administrative issue. I think when we've talked about operationally where the best site for this is, most of us feel like, you know, this narrow band right in front of the harbor is probably not the best site for a couple of reasons. And so it probably would be better just operationally just to suggest to the Ships to Reef group that we choose a site outside of the city limits to the north. But I'd like to hear input on that. That's where we are.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a lot of time to think about it, but some of the issues I was thinking, when you leave the harbor, generally you want to go north because the wind spools up in the afternoon and you want to come back. So something to the northwest of the harbor would be good. The Tenney buoy, there's a whole little reef system there, and police this thing. There's another.
I'll answer the second one. I think that, you know, we would expect that we would probably have some additional response to the area because of vessels and divers using it, but it doesn't seem to me like it would probably be real substantial. Liability, you know, who can answer that question? It's we manage inherently dangerous facilities everywhere we are, so yeah. That kind of activity goes on around the harbor.
Now, how about if we got the other question? I don't know if I'm jumping ahead. If you had an area where you were allowed to sink boats, would there be any other vessels that would be able to get permits to be cleaned up in? Made part of that artificial reef.
I think Mr. Auger would love to be able to sink his mothball fleet out there.
Well, that's where I was going with that.
A couple of these issues. We are in the process of working with the legislature to introduce an amendment to, and I'm probably going to blow this, I think it's Government Code 817, or it might be 871, which deals with the liability issue of the state parks. They have a liability issue for off-road vehicles. Anything that's an inherently dangerous sport is listed in this particular piece of government code. And we have drafted language that would add diving is an inherently dangerous sport, and that diving on a vessel that is either on state lands or any, I think it's worded as subdivision of the state, which falls to the counties and the cities, would be protected under this change to the law. So that kind of deals with the liability issue. As far as the what was the other question?
Sinking all the rest of the boats.
Sinking all the rest of the boats. Okay. We started this process in Northern California in Eureka. They cannot put in a dive-type reef up there because the Eel River, the outflow from the Eel River, the silting, is so big and so huge that anything they put down is just immediately covered up. The divers that live up there go to Fort Bragg to dive because they said if you are not standing at the ocean with your wetsuit and your suit, so they just walk away from the vessel and the harbor ends up with it.
We're familiar with that situation.
It costs them $50,000 a piece to break the ships. Boats, whatever you want to call them. We've offered to help them up in their area. They have a permitted site that was permitted by DFG years ago. So we've offered to help them do that, and we're more than happy to do the same thing in any other location that has a similar problem. There's no reason why we couldn't clean them locally and get everything off of them and take them out and sink them.
He could sign over a handful of them right now for you if you'd like. Are there any other questions? Please.
How many vessels have you thus dealt with in this in sinking?
Pardon me?
Pull your mic over there.
How many vessels have you sunk thus far?
One.
Your group?
The Yukon.
The Yukon was the only one?
The Yukon San Diego. Our core group is the one that sank that. And they're the ones that started this ball rolling.
And do you have a bankroll thus far to continue your operation?
We have, I can't talk about what we have as far as who it's from, but yeah, we do have a significant amount of money available to us.
Thank you.
I assume you're modeling after what's been successful and well-tested on the East Coast. Is that...
We are to a certain degree. We're also taking from the British Columbia artificial reefing program up there. The people that are doing all of those, plus the mover and shaker of the Yukon in San Diego, are all on our advisory board.
Okay. Jim.
I'm not a diver, but I have read at least three, maybe four books about some of the experiences of divers, these being mostly divers on the East Coast, off of the New England coast. And the ones I've read are those that make deep dives and are looking specifically for, you know, World War II sunken vessels or vessels sunk by German U-boats or something like that. But nearly all of them talked about the large number of vessels there that are in closer or shallower water and become the training ground for those recreational
divers that live in San Luis Obispo County. And they're served by four dive shops, but there's no boats except their own personal craft. So a dive industry here, fishing boats, those people that want to, that have the capability, the type of architecture on their boat to convert to a dive charter could do that during off season when they can't fish or if something happens out here and a season is closed for a year. They have the option of doing dive charters. Some may even choose to convert completely over to that. We've talked with charters in Monterey and in Santa Barbara, and both have indicated that if nobody else puts one here, puts in a dive charter, they're coming. And so I'd kind of like to see some local people, you know, have that as opposed to people from the outside bringing their boats in.
What sort of action are you looking for from this board? I think that it's pretty clear that unless there's something we've missed completely that makes this a really bad idea, and I'm sure it would have been discovered elsewhere if that were the case, this board seems to be supportive of the idea. Do you want a motion, Mr. Algard? I guess I should ask you to take to the City Council. Should another presentation be made to the City Council?
The Ships to Reef group has been really, really thorough in meeting with many local groups at this point, and so I'm getting a lot of input that, similar to our feeling, that this seems like a really interesting concept, has a lot of positives, sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop with critics, and as always in Morro Bay, there will always be somebody who will bring up issues and problems, and we haven't heard much of that yet. But I think it needs to go to the City Council sometime within the near future with a, you know, at this point I would presume that we'll make a recommendation to, the staff will make a recommendation to support their project with a letter. I haven't heard that they're looking for any other support from the city now except for this potential question that we're unresolved on yet, whether if it's in the city limits, and of course they need direct, you know, support from the city for that permitting. If it's outside the city limits, it's probably a letter of support for the project and that kind of continuing.
Well, my only, I will voice one slight concern about it being in that narrow area of city limits, and that would be that if it in any way affected our harbor.
The board would like to go.
Jim, you want to craft something?
I move that we we support the concept of ships to reef organization and support the idea of investigating at least the sinking of a ship outside of Morro Bay here.
And would your motion include asking Mr. Algert to draft a letter?
Yes, it would include a request that Mr. Algert write a letter to the city reflecting the support the Harbor Advisory Board has for the project.
When you said outside Morro Bay, did you mean outside the city limits?
Yes, I was implying outside of the city limits.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor? Or any other discussion, I'm sorry. Any other questions or discussion points? Lynn?
The motion says that it should be the ship, that we should sink it outside the city limits. Did you really want to put that limitation in at this point where it doesn't seem that, that Rick is certain that that would necessarily be a better case?
I'm certain.
I guess I'd leave that up to the board.
I would agree with outside the city limit.
Outside the city limits?
I've already voiced my concern about anything jeopardizing our relationship with the Corps of Engineers. Mm-hmm. And you know, I would hate to see anything derail this. So by removing that problem, I think we're healthier.
One question, and I'm a little naive. The best site that you mentioned, is that outside the city limits?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
I would probably voice that same. I would like that outside the city limits, too.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation, and believe me, this community is very thorough about things. I suspect that if there are bad things that have come along with the good things in other areas, we'll talk about those as well. But at this point, it sure seems like a win-win for everybody.
Just a point of information for you. I met with the president of the Board of Supervisors today, Supervisor Linthal, and they will be issuing a...
done a lot of diving, and wrecks are cool, especially if you have the history of it, you know, while you're swimming around inside the boat and you know where it's been, that kind of thing. That's really cool. And like you say, I think it's a win-win situation. What's the worst case scenario? I think it's everything's great. Just sink a bunch of them out there. That should be great. All right.
Nice. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is a 2020 vision priorities. The 2020 visions were put together, as I'm told, without any prioritization. They were all considered to be ideas that were good for the city. We're not going to add or subtract things tonight. At least certainly that's not my vision of what we're going to talk about tonight. It's just that some of these things, to people who are not as close to the harbor, might seem like good ideas, but for people who spend time closer to the harbor and are perhaps a little more familiar, if we have strong feelings about certain items on this list, I think we need to express to the council what we think is important and what we think could be put on the back burner. So we've gone through this before a bit, but I think it's worth repeating because there's going to be a workshop, I'm told, in November. Is that right, Mr. Algert?
It's a moving target.
It's a moving target.
I think that I'd prefer if Nancy Barta, she's here, maybe she could answer.
Nancy, please come forward. I know you've been involved in this from the beginning.
Only the second half of this committee, the follow-up committee, I was not part of the original group at all.
Okay. My apologies.
It was formed to take a look at this because it was just a stagnant report that wasn't going anywhere, and there was some interest in taking another look at this and seeing if we can push some things forward, take a look at priorities, take a look at whether there are strategies beyond limited budgets, be it need for lobbying, be it a need for trying to find corporate funding for some things, or community efforts, or grant writers helping one of these sections develop along, and that's development funds that make that possible. And so that's what we were tasked with doing, was taking a look at this, seeing where the priorities are. And the goal originally was for a meeting in October, and because of some of the other sections of this group, people needed more time. And so as it exists now, the goal would be for November, but beyond that hope, I don't have control over it.
And did I misstate what
no.
you were hoping for from,
no,
from
not
us?
At all. Very act. No, that okay. is what I was hoping for. I'm expected to give a summary back, and I preferred to meet with this board and get the experienced voice in my summary. So that was my hope. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. If we have questions, you're going to be here for a few minutes?
Yep.
Okay. Well, for people at home who haven't seen this and won't see it, I'll read the very short vision statements. Vision statement H1, maintain a safe and healthy harbor, with some points underneath. Number two, maintain economically viable commercial and sport fishing industries in Morro Bay. Vision three, encourage the development of tourist and or educational activities that focus on Morro Bay's maritime history. Vision four, develop a pedestrian friendly waterfront that extends from Morro Rock through Morro Bay State Park. Vision five, support the use of Morro Bay by recreational boaters, including sport fishers. And vision six, improve and beautify the open space surrounding the harbor. Vision seven, facilitate the establishment of an adequate vessel haul-out, boatyard, and boat storage facility. And we've talked about, and there are, you know, sub-points under each of these. Some of these have come up at the Harbor Board meetings, and others are purely aesthetics. They're more ashore than in the water. And so I think that Ms. Barta's request is a good one, that we probably have some strong feelings on some of these issues, and the council needs to hear those so that they can make their call Destination 2000. And we've actually, you know, some of the things on that list did get accomplished. And frankly, it's what the steam and energy get behind the most that seem to be the things that do happen. And, you know, one of those was the teen center, and it was partly just a stroke of luck, and you know, having an idea and a concept ready when a funding source came along. And other things like that can happen, as Ms. Barta pointed out. If grants or outside funding comes along, we want to make sure there's at least an idea and a preliminary plan in place. Jim, you've read through these. Any personal ideas or thoughts you want to express?
I have read through them. I do not remember clearly what we did with the harbor-related goals last time, so I'm not certain I have much of an opinion here. I do think that those things that related to the safe harbor were of interest to us, and to the commercial fishing, recreational fishing were of interest to us. I do believe that some of these look like they're already well underway, such as the pedestrian-friendly waterfront, the boardwalk. Um, and the vision statement number 7, the facility to the haul out of the boatyard. We just talked about that last month as being an issue that seemingly was important to us, and if position number 7 indicates its relative importance to the 2020 statement, then I would think we would want to move the priorities around a little bit.
Fine. Ed?
As I remember, our priorities were the harbor mouth dredging was number 1, and number 2 was the boatyard. We need to get started on it. And that's my priorities. After that, the other priority would be quit making foolish mistakes. So I see that they put that embarcadero in there, was too narrow, then they had to go back and tear the concrete up and widen it again. And that's the planning department. And they put it right where a boatyard was going to go. Thanks. So it seems to me that there's a lack of understanding between the people on the hill and the people down here. And the communication is going to have to get a little bit better. And maybe the communication was fine, they just didn't listen to us. I don't know. But basically, those would be my priorities, the dredging to keep the harbor mouth safe and then the boatyard.
So Vision 1 stays at the top of the list because without the harbor maintenance, there's nothing to talk about. And Vision 7 would be number 2 in your opinion then. Okay. Lynn, any further discussion on that?
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Fine. You want to?
I mean, we can't do anything unless we have a harbor, and the greatest thing here would be the boatyard to keep the harbor safe.
Bill?
I'm sure it's in there in the goals and activities. I mean, in a lot of these visions, I mean, I think no one would disagree to any of them, but I think one of the top 3 would be the maintenance and the availability of slips in the harbor so that we continue to keep those viable and available, i.e. the State Park Marina. If we don't get that done, we're going to lose 111 slips. And so I don't really see that anyone in here. I would like to maybe include that or at least have a discussion on that.
I suppose if I had to read between the lines, it would be under Vision 2, maintain an economically viable commercial and sport fishing industry, because you have to have those support facilities.
H5.2, expand the number of small slips or moorings available for use by recreational boaters.
Obviously, I didn't read the sub-points as carefully as I should have.
Well, that's so it is very there. Important to me.
It is. No, and I agree. We of course, maintaining the ones that are here is difficult enough. Any expansion of those facilities, easier to do permitting and everything else than waiting too long and having the environment change and then having additional difficulties. Is that a fair
yes, and phrasing? And to go back to Mr. LaFay's comments, I appreciate it. If it's clear that maintaining existing boating opportunities and facilities and enhancing or improving those opportunities is a high priority for the board, then that should be passed up to the council and made very clear too, because it isn't always clear that we should try to. Well, let's just say that's a good priority to state and make clear, or to at least put on your list somewhere.
Jim,
under Vision H1, one of the goals H1.4 is to obtain appropriate approval and funding for the dredging and renovation of the State Park Marina. So that's already at least listed as a number one priority or goal under. The number one priority.
Well, I think we have it in kind of two different areas, because there, for some reason, there's a separation between commercial and recreational boating, and really, the entire boating community uses the same facilities. If a recreational boat is large and a commercial boat is small, you know, it doesn't, the size of the boat, they still need the same facilities. So I think that Bill's point is good, that expanding the number of slips and moorings available to recreational boaters is a good wish. It's a good desire. I think having watched the history, expansion's not as likely to happen because of permitting and all. Not that it's not a good goal, but certainly even more of an issue would be to make sure we don't backslide and lose existing facilities. But I'd be happy to move this up if you feel that it's... I don't have a problem. I think any facilities we can provide here are important facilities.
That's my opinion.
Okay. I think then, clearly, Mr. Augert, if you're going to be carrying this message to the council, or Ms. Barta, at some point in time, hopefully they will ask Mr. Augert as harbor director about the issues relating to the harbor. But I think it's really clear that maintenance of the harbor mouth is you know, paramount. If the harbor mouth isn't maintained, why even bother with the rest of the harbor? Because we're going to end up with, we're going to eventually end up with nothing but a shallow estuary and a mud flat, and, you know, it'll go away quickly. Boating will be a thing of the past. The facility for haul out, boat storage, is something that the Harbor Board has seen as extremely important for years. With the lack of maintenance in boats, we've seen boats sink. Pollution is an issue then, and we need to be able to take care of boats locally. Some of them aren't even capable of leaving the harbor. The maintenance of all of the boating facilities that are here, and emphasizing the renovation and dredging of the State Park Marina, that's important, and I think that we do understand that there's a relationship between the state parks and the city of Morro Bay that has some influence on how that's done. But all of the facilities in the bay are important. How about the others? Anyone else have any strong feelings about prioritizing the other items?
No one-way street in the Garfield.
I think that message, yeah, put that, we actually voted on that. There's a strong opposition to one-way street on the Embarcadero. Jim?
Are we here to establish the priority of visions as opposed to the goals and activities that fall below them, or are we going to try to move the goals and activities around into an under different vision statements?
I think that I think we don't want to come, might not have an understanding of the needs.
Well, if we just take then the vision statements, I would, and from what I've heard others say, I would suggest that vision H1 remain number one on our list. Vision statement H7 become number two on our list. Vision statement H2 become number three on our list. And vision statement H5 become number four on our list. And as for the other vision statements, I don't have much of an opinion.
Well, that follows your top two. Everybody okay with that? And if there are some of the goals and activities that you want to emphasize, you know, please speak up about those, because you know, some of them are nice, but they're not crucial. if it would be, you know, my opinion. It doesn't mean they're bad, it's just they're not as crucial as others. So obviously the entire H1 maintaining a harbor, all of those things are important, and making sure that the federal maintenance of the channel and navigable waterways is made a permanent situation, that'd be wonderful. So, and it is listed there. Anyone else? Okay, please.
I would like to just mention this. It doesn't have anything to do with the priority of the list, but in Vision 8-6, the improvement and beauty, to improve and beautify the open space surrounding the harbor, I would like to have Nancy's group take a look at adding one of the goals to that list, and that being taking care of the paper boxes that are at the west side of the Embarcadero, and maybe relocating them to a more desirable place where they wouldn't obstruct some of the view of our harbor, if that would be possible. That's it.
Okay. Anything else? Nancy, does that help you?
Yes, very much so. Can I ask one question?
Oh, please.
All the good intentions and all the good motivations and all
or
at any level that is protecting our city interests with regard to harbor issues. All the money in the world won't help if we are not impacting our layers of permit issues and our politicians and the layers of government that impede progress. So I'm wondering if you feel that we have adequate lobbying and we've done our best in those regards with accomplishing some of these goals.
I have some thoughts. Bill? Yeah. Yeah. Frankly, I think that the harbor department, as far as working well with state and federal agencies, whether it's fish and game, state parks, and then on with the Corps of Engineers to further the dredging and maintenance of the harbor mouth, I think, and I've got to participate in that in years past, I think that we've been more successful than many small harbors up and down the coast. And I think that is in large part due to Mr. Algert and several mayors who worked with what's the name of the group they're coming? CMANC, California Marine Affairs and Navigation Conference. And by the way, they're meeting here in October, aren't they, Rick? Or is it September? Okay. That's in our harbor minutes. So as far as that portion, I think that the city has been fairly successful. Are there issues, and do all members of the present city council understand those harbor issues? I'm not sure I'm qualified to speak to that. As far as the politics in the fishing industry, I have had some real serious frustrations that we're not effective, and many people in the community don't have a clear understanding. With the dredging, I always said people looked out at the bay, and if they saw a flat layer of water, they thought everything was fine with the bay. They did not appreciate what had to take place on an annual basis to maintain the harbor mouth, the safety, and
boom. And then we've had some pretty good ones in the past, and some of them are pretty good now. But their particular agendas don't always run equally with ours down here. And that's just the way it is. And you can go up and browbeat on them. Sometimes it does all right, sometimes it doesn't. But that's just, you know, I don't know what more you're going to do. Why would we have to lobby a city council that makes decisions? Now, maybe we might have to lobby some agency somewhere to get better representatives. But that's neither here nor there. I've been going to some fish and game and national fisheries meetings, and the first time they've heard from anybody in Morro Bay in a while. They've heard from Rick and a couple times and from a couple other fishermen, but they were glad that somebody came up and hollered at them anyway. So there is more we can do. But as far as the city is concerned, hey, they live here locally. They watch this. They know what's going on. So it's not the council that we've got to worry about. It's the other agencies. Thank you.
Jim.
I would like to just speak to the issue of the effort on the part of the city, particularly the Harbor Department and Mr. Algert, to move the State Marina project along. That project is just, about 3 years into the process part of it, and I think there's been very good progress made there, thanks to his effort and the effort of the Harbor Department. And I believe it's supported by the council, through the city council. I don't have any reason not to believe that.
Michelle, anything you want to say? Nope. Bill?
I'm not really. I don't know that much about it. I just got on, so.
Lynn?
I, too, feel like I'm too short-term to really know.
Excuse me. Nancy, you got some opinions, and I'm sure you're aware of the frustration that is sometimes felt by the people on the waterfront. So,
thank you very much for your help. I appreciate it. I will look at the minutes that are collected following this meeting and share them with the rest of the group prior to our public meeting. Thank you very much for your input.
Thank you for the time you've put in on this.
The city council a couple of years ago at $40,000. We, since that last meeting, we have hired RRM, who was the design group for the boardwalk project and is most familiar with especially the habitat issues and the boardwalk project, to overlay, create one of the attachments that's in your agenda item, which shows, I think was valuable to me at least, showed us how the boating access facility plan would lay with the improvements that are now in from the boardwalk project, and also indicates some of the habitat designations. And I know it's a pretty busy diagram, but I'll describe it and for the audience and maybe for the board, and hopefully it's attachment number 2.
We have it. Is there any way we can put it on the overhead so people at home might be able to a better idea of what we're talking about?
Will you give me a second?
Sure.
So, as it comes up, I think people at home might be able to see. It's going to be hard, because it's hard even when you've got it right in front of you. There's a lot of information on this. But the Coastal Commission and the boardwalk permit has attempted to designate basically all of the area north of the intake structure and west of the power plant property as sensitive habitat, with the exception of those areas around Coleman Park that have previously been developed, such as roadways and parklands and parking area. And that is one of the big problems we discussed at the last meeting. Now, one of the questions we had at the last meeting and I was property ownership, and I needed to clarify for the board that I have found since that last meeting that the settlement agreement with the power plant did not transfer the middle parcel that is right in the middle of what our proposed boat repair and marine commercial area is still owned as a part of the power plant parcel. And one of the reasons for that, I'm sure there was a lot of reasons, but that is definitely, there are going to be some sensitive habitat issues in there. There will be some mitigation that the power plant project would need. And at this time, they retain ownership. Are there any kind of, within our lifetime, we're going to be able to use that as part of this facility we have planned, I don't know. So what I asked RM to do on this diagram also was to show us if there was some part of the property that we own that is not habitat designation that could be used in the previous plan as a small boat repair yard. And that's what you can see at the very bottom of your page over to the right-hand side as you face it. They show our diagram of our travel lift pier and I think five spaces. Oh, can you? Thanks. Polly's trying to see if she can. Yeah, there you go. You know where I'm talking, right? Down right there.
Yeah,
those five spaces, right? Go, yep, right. Yeah, right there in that area. So that is something that could be done, probably proceeded with pretty quick, and you know, that would be a start. At that point, I'd like to get your input on that. I also want to remind the board that I think as important as the boat repair yard is to add dry storage. This project, it's important economic component. It is important to create new boating opportunities. It's even important when you start to think of things like the yacht club. With the yacht club has dry storage across the street. It's critical to their being able to conduct races and even their small youth sailing program in the summer. That property is not owned by the yacht club. That is used by as storage for them. It's by the. They have a long-term arrangement with a property owner that's very. It's a great family that's made that arrangement with the yacht club for years, but one can imagine that that may not be there forever. And where would the yacht club be able to put their boats if that ever changed? Where would that dry storage occur? How would we continue the youth sailing program? So while I'm philosophizing a little bit, I wouldn't touch the question that Nancy asked, but I, with a 10-foot pole, but I will hint at something that I think maybe I haven't done too good a job in relaying to the community and the council, is how important it is that we do retain boating opportunities that we have and even add to it. The harbor was a very active place when we had a very active fishing fleet. A lot of fuel sales, a lot of people employed, and that has changed. And that has kind of happened to us, whether we, you know, we had little to do with it and probably little that could be done. Now, if one thing I think I could do a better job is to tell the council and to tell the community, this is really critical that we don't lose any existing facilities and that we do add, if we can, boating opportunities. And the best place we're going to have a chance to add boating opportunities is dry storage. It's a great environmental answer. We can't afford to lose the yacht club dry storage. We can't afford to lose the youth sailing program. So these are really important. Now, what got me on that track was, I'm glad, I appreciate the opportunity to say that, but you know, the dry storage facility would seem to be a viable thing to go ahead with too, since that's on city property. That is also the Coastal Commission has designated as sensitive habitat. So we still got the habitat problem there, but there's probably some negotiation and work that can be done, because that is a top priority use under the local coastal program, and it would be a great site for that out to the where it was previously designated. Our problems right now are around the middle area. And my recommendation to you tonight is that we take a step back from this project, and I know that won't make all of you happy, but take a step back for a couple months at least from the direct work on this project and take a look at a planning effort with the Parks and Rec Department, the Recreation and Parks Department, and the Recreation and Parks Commission at this whole area, north of the intake structure to Morrill Creek to Target Rock, and to see if there might be a better place or better uses for all kinds of things, and maybe even a better place for the boat repair yard than this very limited area over to the right that we previously pointed out. I think that they're indicating 70, 80 feet long. So there, you know, there's not room enough to put a boat there, but in reality, what a boat repair yard facility takes these days with the drainage facility, I don't see it being feasible. It's not worth doing. It'd be my gut feeling without doing much more analysis. But we should probably, if the board really would strongly disagree and wanted to just proceed immediately, that we could do some more work on that. But I think we're much better off going on a little planning effort here and see if there might be a success. My own suggestion, I'll be honest with you, and it may not be popular with some of the city, is that perhaps the park facilities should be relocated to Targa Rock area, and that we should probably look at the existing temporary skateboard park area and the parking area, maybe in parts of Coleman Park, for boat repair, maybe dry storage, you know, lift, and or something like that for our critical marine dependent uses, because the harbor absolutely needs this critical.
I agree.
It can resolve the ownership and the habitat stuff.
Does that then also make phase one area inaccessible to us?
If we no, the road appear the road right away. So the Embarcadero extension road right away appears to be solidified.
Okay. I would like to further comment about, since you mentioned the yacht club and that storage facility that we use across the street. We do not have a long-term lease on that. It's a two-year lease at best, and there is concern that we might one day lose it. But there are two things that that reflect the need for additional boat storage, and one is we have a waiting list of about 13 to 15 people wanting into the storage yard, which we have no more space for. But then with many yacht clubs are racing boats that are, and Lynn, if you can help me with this, they're full keels, they sit high on the trailer, that are popular for ocean racing that we have no storage for, and making a storage place for that kind of boat would probably encourage an expansion of the yacht racing part of the yacht club. So,
and additional marine equipment sales and all the other things that when we had those opportunities. And I'd like to comment too that, you know, there an argument could be made that a boat storage facility doesn't necessarily have to be right on the waterfront, but with our steep accesses to the Embarcadero, with the fact that the Embarcadero does not have overhead lines, so that a keel boat or boats with riggings can be taken down the Embarcadero, and the access issues, that this is an ideal location, and it does need to be in this area of the Embarcadero. And this is, I'll remind people, I think maybe, again, I haven't done such a good job, is when the Boating Access Facility Committee met, they spent a lot of time looking at all the bay, thinking, where can we add boating opportunities, where can we add dry storage? And this was the one place that they said we could do it. So this is, we don't have a lot of choices here. Thank you.
Lynn? Any comments or questions from Mr. Algert?
Well, I know.
Can you pull your mic closer?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
I mean, I'm looking at this and saying, where else could you do it? Coleman Park? Or if you put the boatyard. I'm just thinking about it, though that's not specific enough.
Okay. Bill?
So what you're asking us is to wait.
We have discussed the idea that we should pool the money that we have, the money that would be available for park planning, and come up with some schematics about, you know, some options of potential different kinds of uses in the area for the various boards and commissions to look at. It may be something we could do in November. More likely it's going to be December, or frankly, or February, the way this kind of stuff goes. So it's going to delay work for a little bit, but that's what I would like to do.
Ed?
Well, don't have any choice now. They put that road through where we're going to go in with the boatyard anyway. So if we're going to have a boatyard at all, you know, that's where it's going to have to go, is where the Coleman Park area is. And I just wondered two things. One, what the Coastal Commission's priority was as far as parks versus boating facilities, which is a marine dependent use. Well, I don't know what their position would be on it. Number two is that, how does that, if they're going to change this park plan, doesn't Major D cover from Beach Street to the Rock but it's supposed to be for commercial fishing and sport fishing uses. And it concerns lease sites. This is not a lease site, but it also seems to conflict with the uses that we're supposed to have there. And what do you say about that?
Your attachment number one was the zoning map, the existing zoning map, and that there is some discussion that those things could be changed, but the existing zoning is the CF zone along all of Coleman Drive, so it would seem to point to zoning you know, in for something like the Bow Repair Yard.
That might
dry storage as marine dependent uses, at least in the area of Coleman Park.
So that could be an argument for moving Coleman Park down to Target Rock.
Could be an argument.
You might not listen to it, but it could be one for it.
Yes.
Michelle?
Well, I'm all for a boatyard as soon as possible, but I just don't see them putting a park in there in that area since it gets sandblasted most of the spring and beginning of the summer at Target Rock.
So does Coleman Park.
Okay, not as much, but there's not much you can really do.
Okay. Bill?
Going to the last question, and again, as Nancy said, I think you, Rick, should be positioning yourself and with the Parks and Rec to have a concerted effort to the City Council that this is a very important issue that, you know, they keep saying, you know, we have economic problems, but we're going to have a lot more problems if we don't maintain what we have right now. And you need a lobby, I think, more to try to let them see our position and your position here.
I appreciate that comment. I think we've lost some ground here with the boardwalk project and the settlement agreement with the power plant in terms of the future of the harbor, and I need to do a better job telling people that this is not, we can't afford to lose more ground, in my opinion.
I would say we need to thank the planning department for doing such a thorough look ahead, putting a road right where a boatyard is going to be. Thanks.
I was, you know, involved some years ago with the power plant negotiations, and I'm as surprised as you are to find out that what ended up happening is this big chunk out of the middle is not part of it. Looking at what's left, however, I think that the skate park is something that could be easily moved and supported by, you know, the Rec and Parks Department if it could be put on the teen center site. There's plenty of room out there where the miniature golf was that is not maintained, and I think that the young people who use it would prefer to have it out there. Sand and skate bearings are not a good combination, and just having sand on the surface is not a good situation as far as the safety of the young people that use it. So that move would be, I think, easier than some, because it would be best all around. Moving the park itself out closer to the rock, if some sort of windbreak could be built, particularly along that Embarcadero, the new Embarcadero extension, you know, that might be, it might be well received, and it's certainly worth looking at with the Parks Commission, helping them understand a commission over, and getting them to buy into our needs if we buy into theirs.
There's not a lot I would argue with Michelle about, but there is parts of the Target Rock area that's in the shadow of the rock that is, you know, actually less windy lots of times than Coleman Park. So, you know, but when it's blowing hard, it's all pretty windy. But, you know, I think there's some good and bad. So. But I appreciate your comments.
Sailing in a small boat out there in the shadow of the rock, it's just figuring out which direction the wind's going to come from next. Yeah. That's the big trick.
Yeah.
Anything else anyone wants to add? Lynn?
Yeah, only that, you know, if we're left with this little tiny bit for a boatyard, it's a waste of money. It's just not worthwhile.
No, but moving forward, the power plant isn't going to be there in its present configuration forever. Whether
right.
The new plant is built or not, this existing plant will at some point in time probably not be operating there.
Well, my comment was going to be that this is not workable, so to put it off for a couple of months while you discuss it with Parks and Recreation to see what other possibilities there are, I think, is our only option.
I would concur.
And I guess we should be happy that, that Coleman Park and the skate park are there. That might have been considered significant habitat as well.
Yeah, the Coleman Park goes back to county days. You know, it's an
sure.
interesting little...
It was out there when I was a little kid.
So there's some maybe some area to work with. Even on the north side of Coleman Park, there's area that could be that I think they've already considered disturbed too. So it's a little, it's a large area, and surely we'll have to, we will want to retain a park-type public access point for, you know, for people to launch and use the only beach in the harbor. So I'm not talking about, you know, that there's going to be a mix of. If I can come up with some drawings, I'm hoping that we can work cooperatively and come up with some ideas for boards and commissions and the council to look at, and maybe some different ways to look at the area. Well, I understand the board's urgency in this. It's made clear to me, and this is a funded project. I need to work on it. So we won't say, well, we're looking at the whole area and how we should plan it. So I think that needs to be, the dry storage yard also needs to be put on hold a little bit until we take this step back and look at the bigger picture. And with that, I would just say thanks to the board. I appreciate your understanding. Sorry about the information not being exactly correct. I didn't understand in our last meeting that we did not acquire that middle piece, and that was an important information.
Okay. Any additional comments from the board on other harbor issues? I'm sorry, Michelle, did you have another question or comment on this before we move on?
Maybe if the city accidentally put some roadway through the environmentally sensitive habitat, then we could build on that.
I think we all have frustrations with, especially knowing the history of that area out there perhaps better than people who made that determination. That's, I think, part of the frustration is that it was planted with non-native species as stabilization. There's a history there that not everybody who was involved in the decision making, I have to think, was aware of. So, but we have to deal with state and federal agencies, and so. Educating people as to what's really going on out there is probably a better approach, Michelle. But I can identify with your frustration. Other comments? Future agenda items. I would like to ask for one that Jim touched on, and that is. If you could have a brief conversation with Mr. Algert, with the city attorney, and see if there's anything new that's been learned about the newspaper racks and the location. Is there anything we can do that's been done in other communities where those sorts of issues have come up?
How about if we put that on the agenda for November? October, you're going to have a State Park Marina presentation. I think it'll be at least an hour. So,
okay.
How about if we just put that in? And Jim and I continue to talk. We want to work on it. It's just one of these projects where it keeps getting put. You know, other things gets ahead of it. But
yeah.
If we put it on November?
Fine.
Okay.
Anything else anybody would like to suggest? If